And he said, you were very good about giving out of lack. He said, I want you to give out of honor and sow into fields that have been feeding you for years and years and years. And be intentional about that. And that's just something the Lord dealt with me on. And so I'm making some corrections in my life. And I thank God for that. Thank you for being obedient in that, Robin. And thank you for being obedient in that. I know that was awkward for Linda. I'm sure Linda was like, man, that's awkward. But don't let it be. Don't let it be. And we've given away cars in here and Harley Davidson's in here and different stuff like that. But don't let that be awkward. That's the Father's kiss on you, saying, I love you. And there may not be any need. They just may want to just bless you. You know, when we give gifts to our children and our grandchildren and all of that, it's not always. If it was, we'd be giving them baskets of diapers and wipes and stuff like that. But we like to just bless them. And so sometimes the Father God just likes to bless us. So praise God for that. So don't let that be weird. Yeah, go ahead, sister.
And I changed pocketbooks, so I didn't even have a billfold in my pocketbook. So you might be thinking, I didn't give anything, but where was your heart during that? It doesn't matter the amount or the things you give. It was where was your heart in that, you know? Like I said, I didn't even have any. I had nothing, literally, to give right now. But in my heart, I was just pouring out blessings on her. And that means as much in the kingdom as anything that you can give.
Amen. 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 And you may want to give her something in private later on. You felt uncomfortable about going there. That's okay, too. That's okay, too. Man, I remember we were up at Damon's last year, and Pastor Aaron was up there, and then the Lord moved on Damon's heart, and he said, our Apostle Aaron from the Rock in Mobile, and he said, I just want us to bless Pastor Aaron and Sister Robbie, or his Apostle Aaron and Sister Robbie. And so we just took up a love offering for him that night. I think we took up, what is like $18,000, wasn't it, Lori? It was something phenomenal, you know, because half the people up there is a bunch of dang college-age kids that are broke. You know, they can't tithe. You know, they all just, you know, working low jobs here and there and all of that stuff. But it just blessed them tremendously. And I've been in Apostle Aaron's home. He's blessed and all that stuff. But just to bless them like that, it was tremendous. So don't let stuff like that weird you out, okay? Don't let it weird you. God wants to do weird stuff. He is a supernatural God, and He wants to do supernatural stuff in you and through you. Our problem is we try to get God, we try to take the supernatural out of God. You know, we try to decaffeinate God. You know, we want to come in, we want to be caffeine free with God. Christianity light's what I used to call it. It's Christianity light and everything, you know. And we say, boy, it tastes great, but it's less filling. You know what I want? I want some craft stuff. You know, don't be offended by that, but I want some craft stuff. I want something that is just cultivated and brewed by the Holy Spirit that is heavy and it is good. And it's unique. And I want my praise to be unique. I want my gift to be unique. I want my offering to be unique. I want my sacrifice to be unique. I hate to be, you know, cookie cutter like everything else. I'm editing right now. I'm not even going to go there. I'll get in trouble if I go there. I got a good point I'd like to make out of that, but I'm not. Y'all turn in your Bible to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. We're going to continue as we've been speaking on the resurrection life. We've been in it for a few weeks. I listened to Brother Damon from Easter Sunday, and he preached on the resurrection life. And I listened to Bill Johnson on Easter Sunday, and he preached on the resurrection life. And probably about 5,000 other ministers across the United States preached on resurrection life Sunday. But it's where we've been for a while. We came in and we were doing some teaching and study on the disciples in John 14 and John 15, and we did a lot of study in that out of the Passion Translation. And if you don't have the Passion Translation, I encourage you to buy some. They do have it all in one book now, so you don't have to buy 15 books. I'm going to actually order me one next week. You've already got yours. And I want to encourage you. Just a very, very good, you know, Dr. Simmons has done a tremendous job. He's taken the Aramaic and the Greek And he's translated it out of the Aramaic and the Greek. And I like my King James. I've still, you know, this one is marked up and studied up and wore out, and I will continue to do so. But I enjoy looking at the other translations as well and seeing what God says through these through the original languages. So just want to encourage him that. But we've been doing some studying and looking at the disciples and looking at really challenging the mindset that I grew up in and so many of you grew up in. And this is not a knock on my parents, but it's a knock on the something that really came in and probably the couple hundred years ago in the church, and that was the theology and the doctrine that God saves us from sin and then everything else is heaven. And we're going to endure our 40 years, our 50 years, our 60 years, and then one day, when we get out of this wretched place, then we'll be in heaven and we'll spend eternity with Him, and all will be good. And you look at the gospel songs that so many of us grew up on. You look at the hymns in the Red Book that we grew up on, and it was an escape mentality. It was very much an escape mentality, you know, and we saw it in our songs. Just a few more weary days, and then I'll fly away, and some glad morning, and all of this stuff. And everything was negating our responsibility here on earth of bringing heaven to earth. And I believe that I have a mandate in my life to bring heaven to earth and to release it and transform culture with my life. And you say, brother, that's a tall order, and how can we do that? You don't realize how dark it is. No, you don't realize how powerful the light is that's within you. It's an insult to God to come in and say this world is darker than He is light. But that's our mindset. We say it's too bad. We say it's too wicked. To the fact that I know Christians that don't even want to have a family and raise kids because they don't want to bring kids into this dark world. The kids that you're going to bring into this dark world are the answer for this dark world. And what we can cultivate in this house and the culture in this house. And the, you know, last Sunday we had, I think Leah said there was 44 kids in children's church last Sunday. That's not nursery, that's children's church. 44 kids in children's church last Sunday. And I was like, woo, yay God. Raise up a generation. But the fault of our generation, and I've been hearing this for 20 years, I've been in the ministry for 30 years, I've been hearing this for the last 20 years or so, is you'll have all of these revivalists and all of these evangelists and all these pastors, and we'll all talk about we're going to raise up the next generation, the next generation, the next generation. You know what we're doing, our generation? We're defaulting to them. I'm not letting them carry my torch. Hopefully I'll do something in them where they will pick up their own. But I've refused to let Mary House carry my torch that God's called me to carry. I refuse to let her shine a light that God's placed in me to shine. To transform culture that He's called me and say, well, Mary's generation will do it. Hunter will do it. God will raise him up, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pour, and I'm going to pour, and I'm going to pour. And that's awesome, and I hope God does, and I believe God will do something tremendous in this next generation. But He's not done with this generation. He's not through with us. Some of us are just getting started. Some of us are just getting, we just had a remake and we're just getting started. I believe that. And so we looked at the apostles and they were sitting, the disciples, and they were sitting in John 14, they were sitting in John 15, and Jesus was about to go to the cross. And they had spent 3.5 years with glorious presence of Jesus. Where He went, they went. They sit by the campfire with Him. They got in the boat with Him. They did all of these things with Jesus. And they said, how could it be any better than this? You think because God saved you and saved your husband and got the addictions out of your life that this is as good as it's going to get. And all that is the launching point. When you came into this place, y'all were saved when y'all got here. But when you came into the place, this is not coming in and, oh, this is nirvana. This is it. This is the epitome of Christianity. All this is a launching pad for you. So all this is a launching pad for you. From glory to glory to glory to glory. Now what that looks like, I'll let the Holy Spirit bring that alive in you. But we come in and we have this mindset that this is as good as it's going to get. And how could it get any better? Especially when we have just amazing times with God, amazing presence with God, amazing encounters with God, amazing revelation from Him. Friday night was phenomenal, but all Friday night was another encounter, another time with God. It's supposed to launch me into the next one. It's supposed to launch me into Saturday. I had a pretty glorious time with the Lord last night by myself. This morning was pretty powerful too. I'm looking forward to tonight in life group. The word that you bring. And so we go from glory to glory to glory to glory, but we come in and we tend to plateau out and say, this is as good as it gets, or this is as good as I want it to get. Because I want to tell you something, every level and every detail has a greater cost and a higher price. When I go to South Carolina, to Hope Chapel, and go to meetings, without exception, every time God specifically speaks words to me. Individual, unique words to me. You say, man, but you know what? Also, every time I go to South Carolina, it cost me 2 days. It cost me hotel room money. It cost me gas money. I sit in an intense 5-hour church service, which is awesome. It's glorious. That's not a knock. But it costs something. And we want to come in and we want to receive all of these things from God. We want to receive all these things from the Father. We want to receive all of these things in our life, these levels of intimacy, these things of promotion and all of that stuff, without it costing us anything. And the disciples were in a place in John 14 and John 15 and 16 and on through this where they're thinking, it's all downhill from here. How can it get any better than this? That's why they didn't want Jesus to endure the cross, but they also didn't want Him to leave them. Because they kept asking Him, is now the time for the kingdom to be established? Is now the time? Is now the time for us to go to Jerusalem? You know, we've been in Cana and all of this stuff. Even after the resurrection, they're like, it's now when we're going to Jerusalem and we're going to do justice and people are going to honor you and we're going to deal with Rome and all of this stuff. And Jesus comes in, He says, meet me in Galilee. That's what He said. He said, meet me in Galilee. Meet me in Galilee. Because there, you're going to understand that this thing is not about me setting up my earthly kingdom in my physical presence, but it's about me releasing sons and daughters into this earth. And you're the ones that's going to transform culture. Jesus didn't spend 3.5 years to change the world. He spent 3.5 years raising up a group of men to teach them how to change the world. And they would spend a lifetime doing so. This letter that we're reading from this morning, Peter wrote it 30-something years after the death of Christ, 30-something years later. John on the Isle of Patmos wrote Revelation even much later than that. Paul was writing his letters 30 years after the death of Christ. And they're releasing this and they're changing culture and all of that. And Jesus said simply, I am coming in and I'm paying a price and I'm raising up a group of men and I'm releasing sons and daughters into this earth. And now it's up to you to change this. I've heard this taught and I believe this to be true. That when Jesus and the disciples, y'all remember when they were in the boat and the storm came up and they were freaking out and they woke Jesus up. And He rebuked them after He calmed the waves and the storm, the wind and all of that stuff. And then He rebuked them and He said, oh, ye of little faith. You know what He was rebuking them for? Not that they didn't have faith that He would calm the storm. He was rebuking them for not calming them storms themselves. He said, I gave you power to calm a storm that I intended to sleep through. And I so bear witness with that. And we're looking and we're talking about the resurrection life. I asked you the question last Sunday, what is your life supposed to look like? And the Lord carried me this week to 2 Peter in these verses. And I want us to read these verses and I want us to plow through some scripture right here. And just bring out two or three I feel like are tremendous, tremendous points in this. And then we'll, I'm sure, finish up next Wednesday because we won't get it all tonight. Let's start in verse 1 or this morning. Verse 1, 2 Peter, chapter 1. It said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Peter's writing a letter to the church. Peter is at the end of his life. Just like 2 Timothy, when Paul was writing it, he knew that the end of his road was near, that he was about to be martyred. Peter knew he was about to be martyred as he was writing this letter to the Christians. He wasn't writing it to the world. He was writing it to them that have obtained like. I like what he says right here, precious faith. Question for you is, how precious is your faith to you? How precious is your faith to you? How precious is your faith to you? Is it an addendum? Is it something that enhances my life, accentuates my life? So much of the church, that's what it is something that accentuates our life. That it can maybe give my life a little bit better. It's like putting high-octane gas in my car. I'm going from 87 to 93 with my faith. And he said, this is a precious life changing gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, it's everything to me. It's everything to me. Verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And I come in this, and I want to spend a few minutes in verses 3 and 4 because I think they're very, very critical in reinforcing what we've been talking about the last several weeks. Once again, in verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I love that our God is a God of multiplication and not addition. He can amplify things and he can multiply things. And Peter's coming in and he says, and I pray that this grace and peace is multiplied unto you. Because you have to realize the time in which they were writing this. Nero was on the throne in Rome. Christians were being not only persecuted, not only was it not cool to be a Christian in that culture, you were being singled out, you were being martyred, you were being burned on lampposts to light the streets of Rome, you were being carried into Nero's circus, is what they called it, and they would carry Christians, men, women, and young children, and let wild beasts tear them apart as the crowds in the Colosseum just cheered and roared and all of this. These were the times in which they lived. You would die for your faith. You would die for your faith. And so he's writing to a people that were not just trying to figure out, is it culturally okay? Do I have time? Can I work it in my busy schedule to be active in my faith? It's like, this is my lifeblood, and it is going to cost me everything potentially to follow this man Jesus. That's the setting that he's writing in this. So he's saying, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. They didn't need just addition, they needed multiplication in this. Very real. If you've not been to see the movie The Apostle Paul, go see the movie The Apostle Paul. It's out right now. Very, very good. Very real on this turbulent time. Does not talk about Peter, but it talks about Paul and Luke. And it brings things into perspective. I walked out of that thing, Brett, and I've been pastoring for 30 years, and I walked out of that thing, and I told Lori, and I said, I have not done crap with my life. I felt like such a... You said, brother, I don't want to feel like it. I need to feel like that. I need to feel like there's this awesome call placed on me. There's this awesome hope that's placed within me. The hope of glory is within us. It's within Brett House. The hope of the world is within Brett House. And I need to feel like that. That there's more than what I'm doing. There's more than what I'm producing. And I need to be a productive field that the world can come and feed out of. Instead of me being the one that's gleaning out of everybody else's field. I want to be that field. And so he's writing to a church that's in these desperate times. And he's saying in verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I love that. So let that sink in on you. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. What is his divine power? Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. What was His promise in John 14. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He said, it's better for you that I leave and go to heaven. It's better than you that I leave and go away, that I go through the cross, I go through the resurrection, because when I do, I'm going to send my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit's not a Pentecostal thing, guys. It's not a charismatic, non-denominational thing. It's a God thing. And I'm not saying that so everybody will be like us. That would be pretty boring. But I say that so that we walk in the fullness and the promises that He has for us. And that the Baptist church down the road blows up and the Methodist church comes true with the spirit of Wesley. And they begin to blow up in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's charismatic renewal that's taking place in the Catholic Church. Right now in South America and Central America, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is moving through that. I'm hopeful. I'm believing, brother, that we're going to see global transformation in our lifetime. In our lifetime. Not her generation. In our lifetime. But it starts with us being filled and being on fire. And it starts with us manifesting His glory. And in this scripture right here, Peter said that the Holy Spirit has given you everything that you need. Let me read this one more time. According as His divine power hath given unto us, what? What does that say? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things. Everything that you need in life is contained in Him. The cure for cancer is contained in Him. I'm talking about the medical cure for cancer. I'm not talking about just laying on hands. The problems of clean water for the world is found within Him. It'll be manifested through men and women, but it's found in Him. The problems of how to feed a world that is growing in billions and billions and billions is found in Him. And He said, He is, the Word says that the fullness of the Godhead dwells within us. The fullness of the Godhead. Not just a little bit. Here's a sample. The samples make y'all mad. Samples make me mad. And I know it's a tease to get you to buy the product. But I come in and it's just a little bit, you know, like that much. I'm not. You know, sometimes you go in these real high-end restaurants and they'll come out with a plate and it's got like 2 ounces of meat on it. And I'm like, I thought I ordered a filet and it brought like 2 ounces. And I'm like, are you giving me the sample right now to see if I really want to buy this or what? But we come in and we think God has given us a little sample of the Holy Spirit instead of the whole thing. He gave us the fullness. Filled with the fullness. I didn't get washed by a little bit. It's all of it. So He comes in verse 3. And He said, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I put my words in that in my notes in here. Is all things that pertain unto life and image bearing. He's called us to be image bearers of Him. That, David, when your children look at you, they see Father God. And it's not a stretch for Isabel to be able to sing and know and trust that He's a good, good Father because she's seen an image bearer her whole life. And she ain't going to marry some loser because she's been raised with an image bearer. And anything else is going to be a cheap imitation. And the enemy can bring in the cute linebacker, and he can do this, and he can do that, and he can have the slick car, and he can talk good and all that. But if he's not an image bearer, she'll recognize it and say, this isn't what a good father looks like. Isn't what a good father looks like? I don't care how hot she is. You know what your standard is, brother? Proverbs 31. That's your standard. My wife's got a t-shirt she just had. I'm going to go ahead and just... Everybody's got them. Bunch of y'all got them in the house. Bunch of y'all women have got them in the house. You know what that t-shirt says? I think Lisa got some printed up and was distributing them among some of her little cronies. I know my wife's got, and it says, somewhere between Medea and Proverbs 31. Y'all know who Medea is? My wife is gravitating more towards the Proverbs 31, but that's your standard. And we like Medea because she keeps life interesting. Proverbs 31 keeps life interesting. And that's our standard for this, is to come in and being image bearers. Image bearers. The world needs image bearers. Let's look in verse 4. I want to just throw out there like Wednesday night. Anybody got any comments on that or anything? We'll catch that Wednesday night. Pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That hath called us to glory and virtue. Revelation 5:10 says kings and priests. Said that we are unto Him kings and priests. It's bringing us into a place through the knowledge of Him. And that's not like the knowledge of I studied Theodore Roosevelt so I can tell you about Theodore Roosevelt. But it's I know Him. I know His voice. I know His gait. I know His mannerisms. I know His heart. I know His methods. I don't always know His methods, but I know all the goodness and all of those things in Him. The inherent goodness in Him. I know Him. My journey, as the Apostle Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, that I may know Him. And when I come into this place, the more I go down this road and in this journey, I become more and more and more of an image bearer. So look at verse 4. We're going to hang our hat on this and we're going to tie it up and call it a day. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be, ye might be, partakers of the divine nature. So he's coming in, Peter's coming in, and he says, we are given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, I become an image bearer. How many of y'all have received promises from God? I'm not talking about general this stuff. General this stuff is awesome. That's awesome. I love the general promises. There are promises that me and Robin can share together and we can say, woo, glory, that's mine. And she can say, that's mine. No, that's ours. And there are general promises throughout the Word that I can lay hold of, I can hang my hat on, but I'm talking about God coming in and speaking specific promises to Brett House. To Ida, to Brett, to Ariel, to Steph, to all of these people. And He comes in. Whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises. When's the last time you got a great promise from the Lord? A precious promise from the Lord. That wasn't anybody else's, it was Tyler's. And obviously because you and Ambry are one, it pertains to Ambry as well. But it's a specific promise that God spoke to you. One reason I like to go to Hope Chapel, every time I go, I get a specific word from the Lord for me. For me or for Lori. Or me and Lori. Every time I go, I get a specific word. You said, do you not get them here? I get them here. But one thing that I found is I draw near to Him. is I pay a price to get nearer to Him, and it costs me something to get nearer to Him, and I spend that time in getting in His presence, and I spend that you are more important than anything else, and I position myself in a place of proximity. Usually I'm walking away from God in the other direction, maybe not in a place of rebellion, but in a place of business, and I can't hear what He's saying. I'm real bad about it. I'll be talking to Lori, and I'll be walking away, and I'll be saying something. She said, I can't hear you. You walking in the other direction, and your voice is going that way, and I'm standing over here. How can I hear you? Come over here. Let's have face-to-face contact and articulate what you're saying. And when I do that, she hears me. And when she does that, I hear her. And we do not position ourselves. I put something right here. I said, what great promises has He given you? Are you in close enough proximity or mature enough to hear His promises? And the reason I say mature enough is Galatians 4. You know what Galatians 4 says? It says that the servant and the heir differ none at all as long as the heir is a child. But when the child comes to a place of maturity, then the father determines now it is time to begin to release into the heir. And there's separation between the servant and the heir. And I'm convinced that the vast, vast, vast majority of modern Christianity today are people that might be saved and I might spend eternity with them, but they're still operating as children / servants. And I grew up with that mindset. We sang about it and we preached about it. I just want to be a good servant in the army of the Lord. And I'll put my nose to the grindstone and I'll serve on 4 committees. And if I serve on 4 committees and I do my duty, then I'm going to find favor with God. And I might get a little bit bigger mansion in heaven one day than you get. I'll get the point lot and you'll get in the back side of the cove. Huh? Right? Some of y'all grew up on that same thing. He's not coming back for servants. He's coming back for a bride. There was a transition that took place in here. And He said, no longer do I call you servants, but I call you friends. And then He goes from friends and said, now I call you brethren. And then He goes from brethren and said, now I call you the bride. So I don't even want to fight as a servant or soldier anymore. I just want to fight out of relational proximity and influence. All she's got to do is, as my bride, all she's got to do is come in with a voice of authority. She can walk into the bank. And all she's got to do is say, I'm Lori Garner. And if she's got some proper ID, it's all hers. And you will accomplish more by being a bride than you will ever accomplish by being a good soldier and a good servant. Because with that comes the weight of heaven. With that comes the authority of heaven. And so He comes in and He says, I'm giving you these great and precious promises. And if you have not been getting promises from God, it might be because of your proximity, and it might be because of your maturity. He gave me a promise Friday night. I don't have liberty to share with you guys, give you all the detail of it right now. But it was a 30-year promise. He spoke. I told Lori before the service started, I said, man, there's just something been stirring in me. We were on our way driving to the church. And I said, man, I just feel like, just really feeling my spirit that, you know, some of this stuff and all of that stuff. Well, He came in and He spoke in detail a 30-year promise to me. That means I'm going to live to at least be 86. You're going to be old when you preach my funeral, Brett House. You're going to be in your 70s when you preach my funeral. Because I'm going to live to be at least 80. I believe that. There's not a wavering bit in me that believes. The only thing that can derail that is if I do like King Saul. Because he told King Saul after he got a new heart, he said, your generation, your throne, the following generations will never step down off your throne. You're the one that can cause the train wreck in your life. You can derail the train. But I don't intend on derailing the train. I probably intend on getting better proximity and more proper alignment with him than instead of me doing this stuff and all of that. Man, I just want to get in perfect harmony. I want to be in perfect cadence with him. I want to be in perfect rhythm with him. I want my gate to be his gate. And when I do that, his promises are yes and amen. So I'm sitting here today because I got an exceeding and a great promise. It was a 30-year promise. God told me, he said, this is going to happen for the next 30 years. Next 30 years. That's what the Lord told you. He said, next 30 years. I'm like, woohoo! But at the same time, he's coming in dealing with me on the detail of my finances and everything else. So you know what that tells me? With this 30-year promise, there's going to be 30-year expectation. There's going to be 30 years of obedience. There's going to be 30 years of close proximity to him. There's going to be 30 years of yes to him. There's going to be 30 years of when he moves left, I move left also because I'm so closely attached to him. And a lot of people don't want that. I want to be my own man. Well, go ahead and be your own man. See how it works. I was my own man before I got saved and it didn't work out too good. You've been your own man before, hadn't you, Kenny? Tell me about that story. We don't want to go down that road right now, do we? I don't want to be my own man. I want to be his bride. And he comes in and he says, I will give you exceeding and great promises. You know why he gives us exceeding and great promises? Look at this. That by these, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world. I'm giving you these great promises so that you can be partakers of the divine nature. I'm giving you these promises so you can be full of the Holy Spirit, so you can flow in the Holy Spirit, so you can be one with me. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He said, I only do what I've seen my Father do. I only say what I've heard my Father say. He was so audacious that he could come out and say, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's why the scribes and Pharisees wanted to kill him. That was the root of it. They didn't kill him because he raised Lazarus from the dead. They killed him because he said, I'm deity, I'm the Messiah. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. Or seen me, you've seen the Father. They ask him for signs. They ask him for, show us signs, show us miracles, and that the kingdom of heaven is here. He said, heaven's in your midst. And he was talking about him and he was talking about the disciples. Heaven's in your midst. We got a hog killing going on back there. Amen. Bless the nursery workers, Lord. Bless Tiffany. No, bless David. Tiffany's going home with him. Everybody getting this? Somebody believing this for their life? Somebody believing it for your family? You believing it for your daughter today? I'm believing it for mine. I'm believing it for my grandchildren. I'm believing it for my son-in-laws. I'm believing it for the house family. I'm believing it for Paul. Me and you hadn't had the chance to have deep conversations yet. Right now, I just see an intense hunger in you. I don't know where you're from and I don't know where you're at, but I believe in my heart of hearts that every one of these promises that I'm speaking and declaring this morning are for you just like they're for me. And God might speak a 30-year promise to me, but He might have a 50-year promise for you. He might speak a promise over my seed, but He might speak even greater promise over your seed. Amen? So come on, somebody. Heaven within us. Heaven within us. Heaven within image bearers. I believe every person in here, not only do you have the capacity, but you've got the mandate to be an image bearer. I believe within this house is enough. I'm not saying our city is going to, or our church is going to take our city and all of this stuff, but doggone, we ought to change the culture. Maybe it looks like generosity. And maybe it looks like hope. Maybe it looks like love. Maybe it looks like mercy. Maybe it looks like grace into people's lives. Maybe it looks like excellence. It's little stuff. What does your life look like? What is your life supposed to look like? Maybe it's like every one of our kids that come through here is on the principal's list because they actually apply themselves. Don't be like me. I was a goof off. I was a professional bass fisherman in high school. That's all I studied. When we started that magazine, she said, "You was all about some bass fishing." I said, "Well, don't be like that." I love the fact that in our small church that the leaders of the FCAs in the three Harrelson County, Bremen, and Carrollton schools all are in this house. The head of the FCAs in all three. Earl said, "It's blowing the Chick-fil-A's guy's mind down at Carrollton, how many biscuits we buy every month." He said, I can't believe y'all do that. Yeah, but 12 of them got saved a few weeks ago at County FCA. Thirty-something of them went to Guatemala or Honduras. Went to Honduras. Casey just came in. Y'all had 30-something kids from FCA went, wasn't it? From Bremen? 35 kids. I'll buy them a biscuit every time we can. Get them to come in there. Somebody tell them about Jesus and stir some stuff. Only retire if the Lord tells you to, because you're changing the culture at Carrollton High School. That ain't a word from Sid. It might be a year and a half, but I tell you what, you got a year and a half to raise up some spiritual sons and daughters to fill your stead. I mean, Jesus only did it 3.5, so I ain't putting no 30-year pressure on you or anything like that. Jesus said 3.5, and I'm out. Tap, you're it. So it might be a year and a half, or a year or two, but be busy about raising up. Because you're changing the culture down there. I believe that with all my fiber. You're changing the culture down there. And we're not big. We're not big. But we're powerful. It's not in my, not by my power or by my might, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. And we're not going to take it by the sword. We're going to take it by the Spirit of the living God. We're not going to change it by the laws, and I'm all for overturning Roe v. Wade and making abortion illegal. I'm all for all of that stuff. But I want to tell you something, guys, who's sitting in the Oval Office is not going to determine whether or not we're successful in changing culture. Quit putting your hope on the red states or the blue states. Quit doing it. It will not change it. It's going to take love. It's going to take being image bearers. It is. So don't think the laws are going to do it, and don't think that the schools are going to do it, and this is going to do it, and that's going to do it. It is sons and daughters being image bearers. And it's loving this world into the forgiveness and the presence of Christ. So this morning, I'm through. We'll jump in Wednesday night and do some more study Wednesday night. This morning, within you, if you are saved, filled with the Holy Spirit and in right relationship with God. I'm going to throw three qualifiers out there to you. If you're saved, filled with the Holy Spirit and in right relationship with God, within that is the capacity to be an image bearer. Within that is the capacity to receive promises from God. Precious, unique, individual promises. Because He's got things stored up just for you. And I don't think they're all stored up in heaven waiting for you to get up there some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. I think they're for today. I think our world desperately needs it today. I don't think God has given up on however many billion people that if He came back right now would die and go to hell because they don't know Him. But I believe He's wanting to raise up a people and said, I want you to be image bearers of Me, and I've got exceeding and great promises that I have held up. I have had them. God waited. He's had things in store for me for so many years. And finally getting to a point of proximity and obedience and different things that it takes. And you know what? There's some that I may not get for another 10 years. But I want to get them as quick as I can. Because I want to use them and I want to release it into this earth out here. Our society desperately needs it. Y'all know what Lori drove by last night? Kind of on a tangent here. Y'all go ahead and stand your feet. A KKK meeting. Kid you not. Sure did. Down in the field with the tent, and they had the robes and the pointy hoods and everything. Lori's like, dude, what? We circled the car, looped back around, just so I could go by and get two more looks. We're not close, but we've got hope. I told Lori, sad thing, half them boys probably be in church today. We're not close, but we've got hope. And the hope's you. But here's the qualifier. Do you know the Lord? Every bit of this that we talked about this morning was predicated on the fact that they knew God. Not only did they know Him in salvation, but they knew Him in fellowship. They knew Him relationally. They knew Him from a place of being filled with His Spirit. I'm not slamming on anybody in here. I'm just saying if you need to take the next step with the Lord, now's the time to take the next step with the Lord. I preached for 3 years without it. And I preached the last 27 with it, and there's no comparison. I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying, say yes to more. And guys, it's bigger than speaking in tongues. Don't get hung up on tongues. I have a prayer language and I pray in tongues. I sing in tongues. I do that. And it's beneficial and it has a purpose. But that is not the extent of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So don't get hung up on that. Let it freak you out. Biggest thing when I say that, you know what really changed in me? There's a couple things that changed me. My prayer life changed. The Word became alive in me. The Word became alive as I studied it. I was like, whoa, how did I never see that before? And then I was immersed in His love also. I love people different. Because my nature is really not to love people. My nature is to kind of be like, really get your act together. That's really my nature. Is to suck it up and get tough. Quit being a sissy. I'm editing real hard right now. Suck it up and get tough. Get a job. And be productive. And if you're not doing those, but now I can say those three things with the love of Christ. So he said, this is to all the believers. And this is to all those that have been filled with the fullness of heaven. And then he comes in with the third one and he said, and this is to those that have received exceeding and great promises. If you've not had specific promises spoken to you, ask him. Linda quoted some scripture a while ago, and she says, what father, if the son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks him for fish, will he give him a serpent? Not our Heavenly Father. So if you say, God, I've got a Bible full of promises, but I want some specific anybody promises. Sorry, you'll always be anybody. Sorry, Brandon. I want some specific anti-promises. Then ask him. And there's two things. Let this ring with you. Everybody that's in here and you say, man, I want that. There's two things that I feel like Father God spoke to me on that. Number one is proximity. And number two is maturity. He's not going to lob that thing over on you like a smart bomb if you're 5 miles away. And if you're indifferent and unconcerned, do not expect heaven to come in and whisper a promise in your ear. What was the word I gave this house at the beginning of the year? And I said, this is going to be 2018, a word from the Lord, that 2018 is going to be a year when the secret things are revealed. You know what that means? That means Father God's going to come up and He's going to say, hey, Cindy, I hadn't told you yet this. But I've known it from the foundations of the earth, and I've known you from the foundations of the earth. But let me lay this on you. But two catching things on that are proximity and maturity. I know she thinks she's all grown, but there's things you probably don't even discuss with her even yet. But one day she will. I'm on a journey and I'm on a race for maturity. I'm on a journey and I'm on a race for proximity. I'm on a journey and I'm on a race for intimacy. And as I go down this thing and I go down this thing, then heaven is revealed and released into my life more and more and more and more. And the same can be for you. Everybody in here. This ain't a preacher thing. This is an Ashley Broadstreet thing. This is a Sarah Broadstreet thing. I got a prayer request from her in there and the thing, and it made me laugh and it touched my heart all the same. I don't know if you saw it or not. I got a prayer request in there from her. I'll show it to you later. It's awesome. Out of the heart and the mouth. See, she's on this journey. And she's nine and she's on this journey. And this filling of the Holy Spirit's for her, just like it is for this old crusty 56-year-old cat. So all you have to do is open up and say yes to it. Jump up there and get on the guitar. All you have to do is open up and say yes to it. No matter where you are in this journey. Because my yes today is just as significant as the yes that I said when I got saved back in the day. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit back in the day, my yes Friday night was just as significant. My yes this morning is just as significant. And my yes tomorrow will be just as significant. Yeah. Man, just take care of your business with God. If you need to come to the altar, you can come to the altar. I didn't go to the altar Friday night, and I took care of some serious business with God. We didn't even have an altar call Friday night. But all over the house, there were people taking serious business with God, getting it took care of. Just move within your heart. Move within your spirit. Change your trajectory today. Change your trajectory today. And a yes does that. Let's just take a minute and let's just soak in the presence, Lord. If you want to come to the altar, man, come on down. If you want to take communion, come on down for that. Don't be afraid. He's a good father.